Yeah, it's a Friday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, as always, joined by the great producer, Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn, with us as always. And it's a Friday. Mr. Colin Russo with us as well. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Mr. Strofe. How are you today?
I am well. Now,
sharing the mic.
If you're watching on the video stream, you're not hearing this on the audio set. We're having a little audio difficulty, so we're sharing a microphone. We're cuddled up together, nice and close. You smell like booze and regret. What'd you do last night?
All right. You mean, what an open. No regret.
Oh, good.
Maybe a little booze. But no, I what I was up to last night, I was stopped by Red Rock for another day party.
Another date party. Is that number 27 now?
Who's keeping track?
You.
I mean, yeah, ballpark 25, 27. I went to it. Yeah, it was good. The Red Rock food is out freaking standing. And so the first thing I went right to the trays and got two plates, two burgers, four tenders, some mac and cheese. And I sat down in one of those booths and I told my date, I will see you in 15 minutes. And I had a fork. I literally had a napkin. I put it in my shirt and I sat there and I ate for about 15 minutes, not with uninterrupted. Nobody talked to me. It was fine. I had a glass of water and that was it. I didn't even have booze at that point. I was just drinking water.
You were just chowing. So this, we talked about day parties Monday on the Great Day in Huddle, which we do every Monday together on 100.5 ESPN. We didn't talk about it last week on Mr. Relevant, I don't believe. So a date party, the concept is fraternity, sorority. So this was a sorority one, I assume?
Correct.
So a girl from a sorority invited you to the date party. Every girl in the sorority invites a date. You all go together to a location and have a party.
That's generally the concept. For this one, it was actually, I don't know why we're discussing this again, but one of her friends, you set it up for your friend.
So did you meet somebody?
I know. I knew who she was. I know her. Like, I'm friends with her, but she didn't know she was going with me until I got there.
Was she excited?
Yeah. I mean, you got to be excited. I mean, not for like, you can't just like show your, you can't.
Do you think there was somebody at the date party who was like, what the hell, man? Like, why him?
A lot of the times people don't even follow it and they're just like, I'm not even dealing with it. But I give her credit, to her credit as a senior in college. She's like, yeah, I'll go on one. Let's do it. And she was great. We had a great time.
I'm happy to hear that. All right. Want to get into a couple things. But first, producer Tiny Hands, it is time for our big announcement. The finale of the Badger Club Burger Bracket is here. It's over and done with. Finito. Kaput. We have the results. It was Tipsy Cow and Sunbrary taking on the Ope House Pub in Barneveld. Boy, did it go down to the wire. Over 1,200 votes, the largest amount of votes on any of the polls, from 64 down to 1. In a final tally of 52% to 48%, the winner of the best burger in the Madison area goes to, Colin, drumroll please. Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie. We will be with you Monday following the bracket release, the real bracket release on Sunday, to celebrate your burger bracket win. We're with you at 12:30 on Monday, live from the Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie. So looking forward to that. Congratulations to the Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie. You can officially recognize yourself as the best burger in the Madison area. Looking forward to getting out there on Monday.
You tried all those burgers?
I didn't try all 64, but I have tried the Tipsy Cow burger. It is phenomenal. I used to live right by the Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie, actually. So
it's worthy of the declaration that it's the best burger in Madison.
Yes, very well worthy. I was not surprised to see that they got this far. If that's any indication. So look, congratulations to everybody at the Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie. 1,200 votes. Thanks so much to everybody that participated and got excited about it. It was terrific. It was a terrific bracket and really fun to put together and execute. So looking forward to celebrating on Monday. All right, Kali, something I want to chat about is something that's been on my mind. The last time we did a show was Tuesday. I had the flu this week. I didn't even tell you that. I've been out the last 2 weeks. Wednesday, and then I was also at yesterday. I was feeling better yesterday. Okay. I don't think I'm contagious anymore now that we're kind of cuddling.
Well, cat's out of the bag now.
Yeah. He covers his face. We're fine, dude. So something that has consumed my brain entirely for the last 72 hours is the fact that the former Packers quarterback is a front runner on a ticket for the vice president of the United States?
Yeah. So did you see who wrote that story, by the way? It was the dog Twitter, like the little Roy.
Yeah. PFT commenter. Yeah.
Yeah. He broke the story.
I did see that.
Yeah, so the dog broke the story.
Dead dog.
Right. And I was surprised because, well, I'm not surprised, actually. It's sad to say that I'm not surprised because it's Aaron Rodgers and the guy cannot go 5 minutes without trying to get into some sort of headline. Now that he wants to get into policy change, I think it's hilarious for the Jets because the Jets let him come in, run this organization for 6 months, crash it and burn, play 9 seconds in the first game, have this big story about how he's going to triumphantly return after 8 weeks from an Achilles tear, doesn't come back, they miss the playoffs, they're in cap hell, they don't make a ton of moves in free agency, and now he's going to leave them for politics. That is Aaron Rodgers through and through. So am I for it? Yes. I am for it. I'm okay with it. And RFK, wow, what a headliner right there. They're just trying to steal some votes off the names itself. That's a smart idea.
It is a smart idea. It's a play for sure. Now, I was thinking about earlier this week while I was lying in bed sick. Like, is there another NFL player that could legitimately think they're capable of doing this while simultaneously playing in the NFL?
So is his plan to play in the NFL while he's on the ticket?
So the New York Times story said that it is, if he was to accept it, he would continue to play quarterback, which I don't think you could successfully pull off because you have to be on the campaign trail until November.
This would have to be, yeah. You got to go state to state. How are you going to win votes if you're not even going to show up?
Right. So I guess the word I'll use is delusional. Is there any other NFL player, past or current, that's delusional enough to think they could pull this off successfully? The one name that came to mind was Antonio Brown.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, Deion Sanders probably thinks he could run for office. Delusional? There's a lot of guys who are just so delusional. I got to think about that. There's definitely a couple all-time greats that, like, won't shut up.
Marino, maybe?
Yeah. He's pretty out of the limelight. He's not a Super Bowl champion. He's not going to get votes strictly off of that.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that. There's definitely a couple of running backs that think they're like the shit. But Deion Sanders, Antonio Brown. You see Antonio Brown's new like news thing? It's called CTESPN.
I did see that. His Twitter is, I don't know if it's phenomenal or worrisome or both.
I give him credit because he broke Russell Wilson to the Steelers, by the way.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did, I think.
I don't think that's true.
Well, he had to.
I think Shefty got it, and then maybe AB got it a few minutes later.
Maybe, yeah, I think he was tweeting at him. He's like, I had it first, Shefty. Like, I don't know. I kind of admire it. He's self-aware in a sense, but ever since that Vontaze Burfict hit, he's never been the same. And that's an all-time great player. He is a top five at his position, in my opinion, all time.
All time or at the peak?
His peak, he's a 4 or 5 first-team all-pro. That 4 or 5 year stretch is as good as there's been.
That's a fact. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think longevity has to play some sort of a role, right? So, like, Rice is up there.
Rice is number one.
Moss is number two.
Is it Moss?
Owens?
Owens, number three. Then number 4 and 5. People love putting up Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald, long career, long career. One-time first-team All-Pro, if my memory serves. First-team All-Pro is how you measure how great a guy is. That's them being the best at the position that specific year. Julio Jones, he was better than Julio Jones in his prime.
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson's probably number 4. And number 5, Antonio Brown.
It's an interesting take.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's active that could break that? Tyreek? Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson's probably the only one. Tyreek doesn't have a career for it yet.
Really?
He's 32, right? He's 29, 30?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, 29 or 30 sounds right.
He's not an all-time. Antonio Brown was 135 receptions. He was 1,500 yards. He would have 15 touchdowns. And the Jacksonville Jaguar defense of 2017 is one of the best defenses I've ever watched. They played the Steelers twice.
Colin Russo with us on Mr. Relevant Friday. I'm Alex Strove, Hunter Vaughn running the show. Hunter, you don't have a mic. How you doing, buddy? You doing okay over here?
I'm doing good. Just hanging out.
Good to see you. Yeah, I'm cutting you off on that one. I'm not allowing Jags talk on this Friday edition of Mr. Irrelevant.
So if we don't need to get into politics.
I love when anybody starts a sentence that way.
Yeah. But he's on a ticket. Were you even moderately swayed to, like, you know what?
Who's he?
You. Into RFK and Rogers.
Oh, no.
What do you get in the office?
What do you get? No. Well, to be honest with you, this is how out of touch I am. What the hell does the vice president do? Because, like, legitimately, I'm not to get into politics, but I'm young and dumb, all right? Let's keep this in mind.
Vice presidents, I think, a bunch of, like, fundraisers, they... Like, you know, they have a couple speeches a couple times a year. But knowing Rogers, he's going to reinvent the position. You know, he's going to be like my opinion is he's going to, like, decriminalize everything involved with drugs. I think he will abolish the DEA. I think EPA, like all that other stuff. He's just going to abolish it all.
You think he'd implement, like, mandatory darkness retreats?
Yeah, he's going to come up with, like, a bunch of, like, community bunkers where you could just go and sit in the dark and, like, become close with each other and now the whole thing like that. Does the vice president, where do they live?
In the White House?
No.
Really? Hunter, you know stuff. Come here. Roll over here. Get in the camera shot. Join us. You know this stuff. What? I love our setup today. For the record, we're pre-recording this because I'm over at the Kohl Center. We've got Division II state semifinals, boys basketball coming up. Wildy and Tausch are actually here for once, both of them, in the actual Everlight Solar Big Studio.
For once.
Wildy's been here like twice. We've been here 3 years. Where does the vice president live? You know this?
I don't know the exact name of the house, but Pacific House in, like, Maryland.
Maryland?
Is basically Maryland.
But D.C. is D.C.
Yeah, but it's basically in Maryland.
But isn't it also? But isn't it basically also in Virginia?
One quarter of it borders Virginia. The other three quarters of the city.
And where does Delaware come into play? It is the DMV.
Delaware. So Maryland, it's the bottom. You know how Maryland's that little, like, shoe? Delaware is that other side of the shoe. So it's not that wide across at the point in which it borders, because you're at the edge of Maryland. Virginia, D.C. is kind of like right in the middle there. Delaware is that little, like, thumbprint to the right of it.
This is good.
So, yeah, it's like a specific house that they always stay in.
But is it close to the White House?
It's close to D.C., but you also want the VP away from the president in case something happens.
Oh, sure.
Safe.
I saw that show with Kiefer Sutherland once. What's that? What's the name of that show?
Designated Survivor.
Good show.
Yeah, I never watched it. I don't know. Like, you know, God forbid RFK gets elected with Rogers on the ticket, but God forbid.
Not to get political.
If he gets elected, God forbid that RFK, something would happen to him and Rogers is acting president. Rogers, Air Force One. Rogers. Really? Rogers going to hang out with Putin? He'd, like, toss a ball with him, make him run routes.
He's going to sign him to the Jets. He brings all his buddies over.
Unbelievable. You know, that's fun and all. You know, there's a lot of public figures that, like, Steph Curry said he might run for president after his career.
Did he say that?
Yeah, I got fooled.
I think you got fooled.
I think he said he has a career. He could have a career in politics after basketball. These public figures are so out of touch.
Let's think about it. Well,
I do think politicians way too old nowadays. And, you know,
you need
a sense of people that are maybe in touch with reality, but younger. So, you know, can't get, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, another guy, completely, you know, in his contracts for movies, he has a clause that he cannot lose a fist fight.
Really?
That guy, you want him president? A guy with clauses. He's like 6'7" and 500 pounds.
He does not weigh 500 pounds.
Like 280 pounds. But the clauses, him and Jason Statham, they cannot lose fistfights in their movies. I will not vote for that.
I love how he's looking directly into the camera and saying, not to get political, but I will not vote for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Terrific. How much college basketball have you watched this week?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, it's been fun. Curious about a couple teams, like border bids. So sort of like Indiana State.
Border, you mean bubbles? On the bubble?
Sure.
Border bids.
I'm political at the moment. Indiana State. Hopefully they could steal a bit. The good
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robbie Avila. Yeah.
St. John's versus UConn is today.
If St. John's wins, they're in.
They're probably – that St. Seton Hall, St. John's game was probably for a bid to begin
you
with.
You think?
Yes. And I also think the committee would want Patino in the tournament.
Can I ask you a question? Are you a Big East guy?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was telling Hunter this earlier, and I make this joke. It's been a long-running joke with my buddy Max, who's a Marquette fan. Why is Providence legitimately every single year, outside of maybe one in the last 6 years, sneaky good? They're not usually good. They've had a couple good years, I guess. But they're sneaky good.
They made the Sweet 16. What was that, a year ago? They made it for two straight years.
Right, but they weren't super high seeds.
No, they never are. And it's because they play in one of, if not the best venue in college hoops. It's the Dunk. They were like 43-4.
Did you go to the Marquette game there?
I did, and they kicked their ass.
And they beat Wisconsin there earlier this year, too?
Their ass as well. UConn beat them at Providence, which is sweet. But they don't lose at home court. And, you know, they had a good coach in Cooley, but he left. And they got a new coach. Kim English is also a good coach. So the Big East, there's one thing about them. They got great coaches throughout the most of the Big East. They got Sean Miller in there. They got Patino, Hurley. Chris Holtman just took the DePaul job. And they got Shaka. They got Kim English. They got Cooley. That's a lot of great coaches. And college athletics is a coach's sport. They got a lot of great coaches in that conference. That's why I always think it's underrated.
You missed the Shaka masterclass last night, I assume.
Yeah, I did.
Shaka masterclass at the end of that game. Bucket didn't count at the end of regulation. It was a masterclass.
I did see the highlights, but I didn't watch
it. Masterclass by Shaka. He drew it up perfectly. It got off maybe 0.01 of a second late. I don't know how they overturned that. It's beside the point.
Speaking of college hoops, how about the Wisconsin Badgers yesterday?
So this is coming out at it'll air about 1 hour from right now. So it's about 12:50. If you're watching this live, you're listening to the audio version, it's during the game or after. Huge win yesterday. Are the Wisconsin Badgers back? And this is, we're recording this prior to the Northwestern game. You don't win by 31 points in a tournament game and not be back.
The nice part about it is that was the best game they played all year.
All year?
Yes. I think that was better than the first Indiana game.
What about the Marquette game?
Marquette game, they played great and they led the whole game. That's probably up there. But in terms of just pure shooting and offense.
Yeah, 64% from three. You're not going to lose.
You're not going to lose with that. And they had a ton of assists. They had like 16 assists in the first half. So because of that, I would take – and also it's a tournament game. So like I can't put too much stock in the early games. So they're playing well at this point. But my point is I don't want to get too hot too early. This team is streaky. Either you get them good or you get them really bad. And that's – offensively at what I'm talking about. So if you want to catch them in an offensive rhythm, if they can carry that for nine games, great. Probably not that realistic. So I'm not ready to declare anything crazy, but it is a good look.
I am. They're back. Yeah. They're fully back. They are playing so much better basketball than they were 3 weeks ago.
If they had, what about they lose to Purdue tomorrow? That might.
They lose to Purdue tomorrow. That's fine. That's fine. Play them close. Purdue folds in the tournament. I'm not worried about
they
it.
Lose to
Purdue's going to lose today.
They lose to Northwestern.
I think Northwestern's a good team.
And they played the both games were really gritty and scrappy that they played this year. Northwestern and Wisconsin.
They only played one game this year. There was one in January. And Wisconsin won.
Right, that was a great game. We
good game. Seven point win.
Klezmet saved in that game.
Was it last week? You and I were talking about the Klezmet games. I think there've been four this year. Mm-hmm. Today is a Klezmet game.
I don't know if I'm ready to say that.
Connor
Sejan game. Play the guy more. He goes in. He gets the ball. He just shoots it. And I just give him credit. It's like he's just earning his points. But wow.
Did you see the story? I think it was Badger Blitz reported it. Sorry if I'm wrong on that. He'll be back. He committed to coming back. No transfer. He didn't even think about it. I love that out of him.
I give him credit for that because it seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. And it seems like he really likes the program. So. You know, a lot of guys would get pissed off and leave after that. So I guess it takes some stones for him to hang around.
I mean, his situation was so unique. And it's a situation where I'd be like, yeah, I'd get it if you transfer, right? Because you go from being a starter, the second leading scorer on the team as a freshman, to a guy playing like 7 minutes a game, if you're lucky, off the bench.
Third, second half, he didn't even play at all.
Right. I mean, they were not playing him in crucial situations. They were blaming it on defense, even though the defense has been bad all year for Wisconsin.
That's why I don't understand that. I don't understand. Like, his defense, if it's that much markedly worse than everybody else, why is the Badgers giving up 75, 80 points a game? Like, So there's a trade-off here that I'm not really following. But a lot of guys are going to be coming back next year, too. You're going to lose Wall. I'm going to guess Store is coming back unless he has some sort of crazy seven-game stretch where he has to capitalize on capital or draft stock. But everybody's going to come back. So unless he's comfortable with that role or ready to move into something different, what difference are you going to see unless some dramatic improvement from him out on the defensive end where it allows him to start or something like that?
Okay, rapid fire, five NFL questions that we're getting out of here, all right?
Yeah.
One quick answer.
Okay.
Josh Jacobs is an upgrade over Aaron Jones, yes or no?
Yes.
I agree, yes. Bringing A.J. Dillon back is a good move, neutral move, or bad move for the Green Bay Packers?
Neutral move means they don't like the running backs in the class, and that's what I think. You know Braylon's not running today?
Yeah, Wisconsin Pro Day today. Braylon's not running the 40 again. He didn't run it at the combine. What the hell is he doing?
He's definitely really slow right
now. Gotta be, right? He's gotta be. Like,
see, Muma ran a 4.93.
I love Muma, too.
He's such a good guy, but, like, come on, dude.
4.93.
You're not going to get undrafted with that. That's undrafted territory.
Yeah, that's too bad. It's too bad.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. I tend to agree neutral move because it's so low. They gave him a deal I've never even heard of. It's a four-year qualifying offer, which means he gets a maximum of $1.35 over the veteran's minimum. So it's like a total of $2 million. He's a similar back to Jacobs. I think they're going to draft a back still. I just think it'll be more of an Aaron Jones type than a Josh Jacobs, A.J. Dillon type.
Maybe it's a locker room thing.
Fair enough. Will the Vikings move to a top five draft pick to draft a quarterback?
It looks like they will. I can't get over how everybody loves McCarthy. Apparently Denver loves McCarthy and Minnesota likes McCarthy. Arizona's in a peculiar spot because they got rid of Rondale Moore. They just signed. They got nobody, actually. They got like Zach Pascal or something like that. So they got nobody.
Is Greg Dortch still around?
Maybe. So they're at fourth. They're in a prime position to get Harrison Jr. So you're really going to have to convince them to move out of that spot and therefore out of probably the 1A prospect in this class outside of quarterback. So, but that's where you're going to have to be. I don't think the Chargers are going to move at five.
Chargers. Last, actually, two more questions because I want to ask you about the Jags on the last question. Is Jim Harbaugh going to ruin Justin Herbert as they get rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams?
No, he's a quarterback whisperer. Like, he wins everywhere. And I'm a firm believer. Keenan, they sold him for nothing.
Fourth round pick, but he's on an end of a year, last year of his deal. Yeah. It's 26 mil.
Keenan, you know, give him a change of pace. He seems like a very stand up player, just like, you know, comes in, does his work, and leaves. So, you know, that was part of the Bryce Young deal too. So that's another thing.
Oh, really?
Out of that, yeah.
DJ Moore, Caleb Williams,
Darnell Wright,
Tyreek Stevenson. They have another second round pick,
Keenan Allen, obviously.
And Keenan Allen.
Bryce Young.
Okay, extra question. Two more. Real quick. Is the Bears offense going to be good with Caleb Dillon?
Yes.
How good?
They got Shane Waldron at offensive coordinator, which I like. Keenan, DJ Moore. I mean, DeAndre Swift. Okay.
Agreed.
But
okay.
If they got that 1-9, I'm curious what they're going to go with 9, because you could get somebody like Odunze and further beef it up, or you could get some protection. I don't know. If it's me, I'd probably go the protection route and protect Williams if there's a Olu Fashanu there for Joe Alt. But if they go receiver, that offense is going to be dangerous, and he airs it out, and they're going to let him play. It's not going to be clean to start, but how about the Packers playing two probably big-time rookie quarterbacks?
Two big-time rookie quarterbacks, but also both those teams are going to have two of the best receiver duos in the NFL, right? DJ Moore and Keenan Allen in Chicago, and Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. All right, last rapid fire, which you're doing a bad job at. Question for you before we get out of here. Darnell Savage goes to your Jags. Will Darnell Savage be a top 20 safety in the NFL next year?
Yes. All right. Ryan Nielsen, the new defensive coordinator for Jacksonville, is coming from Atlanta. He's good with two things. He's good with safeties, and he's good with defensive line. Cameron Jordan said he's his favorite coach he's ever had in his NFL career. High praise. Who'd they bring in? They brought in Eric Armstead. Eric Armstead, Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker.
What does that have to do with Darnell Savage?
They're going to be getting after the passer. He's going to be throwing every quarterback Aaron throws. You got 4-3-6 missile in the back of the defense.
Hunter, I'm looking at you, me and you for a second. Did he just refer to Darnell Savage as a 4-3-6 missile?
Missile. He's going to be flying all over the field. He's going to have seven interceptions.
Top 15.
No. No. They got a better safety on the team than him.
Okay. But top 20.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Heard from the Jag Whisperer, Colin Russo. You can get Colin on Twitter, at ColinRusso70, and get me on Twitter, at Alex_Strofe. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy all the hoops. Looking forward to the bracket release Sunday. We're back with you Monday live from the Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie, celebrating the winner of the Badger Club Burger Bracket, the Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie. Big thanks to Hunter Vaughn for running the show as always. Colin, appreciate you, buddy. What are we doing here? We tapping? We handshaking? Handshake. Handshake. I'm Alex Strofe. Have a great weekend. Peace.